Amen. Thank you, John, for sharing with us this morning from the Word of God. Appreciate your testimonies of your life and God's faithfulness in your life. What a blessing. God bless you for that. Just as John was sharing, just the thought of him being there in a place where he wasn't sure if he was going to live or die. And then that peace flooded his soul. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. There was an assurance in John's heart. There was an assurance that Jesus saved him. Assurance. There was a rest and a total peace. You'll have to just bear with me. I lost my voice here about a week and a half ago, totally. Couldn't talk, besides a whisper. Closed here on Sunday afternoon, went home, took a little nap and woke up and couldn't speak. And I still don't know why, but it has taught me a lesson. I have a voice. We all have a voice for the Lord. And I'm so thankful this morning that it has come back partially. So by God's grace, I'll make it through here this morning. Going through the book of 1 John has stirred my heart again to just make sure we're on walking with Jesus. The past few months or whenever we started, it has inspired me. It has stirred me to the point to check my own life. But ultimately, it has challenged me. Am I really set? You know, we have this children's race called get ready, get set, go. And I felt God laying that on my heart. I want to share some things this morning about, first we're going to, the title of my message is Get Set. And I wasn't able to put everything into that one message of what I wanted to share, but it's okay. I'll just trust the Lord for direction in that. But I guess as I look around, I see people, some are falling away, some are walking away, some are struggling with the assurance of salvation. Some think they're saved, but they keep on sinning. Haven't been set. Maybe they don't understand. So as we went through the study, I just kept thinking of see the salvation of the Lord. But there is also good things happening. There's a new hunger. There's a new thirst. The bride is waking up and making yourself ready. Maybe not so much in America at this point. I think COVID-19 helped a little with that. But I think in other countries, there's a desperate cry for the Messiah to come back again. You can almost hear that cry when you read about Frank Testa challenged us to read about the persecuted church and follow that. Otherwise, we're not doing our duty here the other Sunday evening. Otherwise, we're not praying for him. We have no knowledge of what's going on. And he really encouraged us to follow the persecuted churches, the countries that are being persecuted. But there is a cry coming out of that. So there's a hunger, there's a thirst. I would say in America, I've never seen a pursuit for possessions like I have during this time. The increase in goods, the increase in spending. I don't know if I've ever seen that. The spike in spending. I'm like, what if that would be channeled a different direction? What if it would be channeled towards something we were praying for last night, human trafficking? What if those funds would be redirected? What could it do? I know it takes able vessels to go, but some places we can't go. And there's people within those countries that'll take that opportunity to make a difference. And so the burden this morning is your faith on Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, the goal is that you would have a biblical understanding of what it means to be saved and what it means to be set on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. A couple questions. You can turn with me to 1 John 5. I just want to ask a few questions before I get started. Have you ever thought of dying and had the fear of going to hell eternally? Or have you ever thought you've been saved and this nagging doubt continues to just remain there that you may not be saved? Or have you ever thought, why are there those that say, I'm a Christian, I've been saved, but they struggle to be at peace with God? They say, I've been born of the Spirit, born again, but I don't feel assured. I can't say that I know. We'll see in Scripture, it's biblical that we can know. And so the urgency of the time that we live in is we need to get set on Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, 10 to 12, and then we're going to go to John 3. Let's pray at one more time. Father, we just lay your word before you. We thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, thank you that we have this opportunity, Lord, all of us together to look at your word this morning, Lord. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, Lord. Lord, that we could understand. And Lord, all of us together could get set in a greater way, Father. Oh, God, help us. Help us to draw nigh to you during these times, Father. Help us to see the seriousness of the hour and the heart cry that is on your heart for your church and for the ones you created for a purpose. And Lord, this morning I pray, Father, that you would give me a voice, Lord. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through your word, that we could receive it with open hearts. Lord, may your Holy Spirit, Father, reign here. May it speak to us. May it guide us. Lord, may it pierce our conscience. May you do the work that you really want to do in all of us together. And so, Father, we just lay it before you. We just trust you this morning, and we thank you for it, Lord. We need you this hour. We need you this hour, Father. And so we thank you for the opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John 5, 10 to 12. He said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or the testimony that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now let's go to John 3. We're going to be back in 1 John again, but we'll go to John 3 for a little bit. Starting in verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now you're going to just hold your finger there. I'm going to go to John 8 a little bit for a verse to that relates to that verse there. I don't think there's anything different today than there was when Moses was in the wilderness with the serpent as far as lifting up Christ. When it mentions this, it refers every time to Christ when he was lifted up. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. That's what Jesus says. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. That was before he went to the cross. Verse 15, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What a promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever includes everyone. There's no one missing. Everyone he created, wherever they are in this world, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth light hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So there we see a short picture of the gospel, of why Jesus came. Now I could go back into the Old Testament. I don't think I'm going to do that this morning, but he came, he died because there was a need in my own heart. God sent his Son to die for me, for you, because there was a need on my own heart. There was actually a debt. There was something that had to be paid that I couldn't pay myself. Jesus willingly came and died for that on the cross, and he rose again, and through the resurrection, we have that new life. Now, let me just mention maybe one of the reasons maybe that you struggle. It's going to be straight up this morning, right? Maybe one of the reasons you struggle this morning is you're trying to mix the world in your walk with the Lord. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why you struggle. Or salvation was just an emotional experience. Maybe you breathed a prayer and it isn't reality in here. It just didn't become reality. There's just not a settledness. There's not a peace. I know how that feels. Or maybe you've been truly saved and haven't embraced or believed the promises of God. I don't know. All I'm here to say this morning is I'm here to encourage us together. We can know that we're saved. So as we go through this, just let's check our hearts. And God will show us. Now, there is one thing that I know that after I was born again, there was one that wanted to steal away my testimony, and that was Satan himself. The day after I got born again was the worst day I've ever had. Even before I was born again, I didn't struggle that hard. But then God confirmed it in one day. And I began to get the confidence that I was born again. But there is one that seeks to steal or to destroy or kill the testimony that God has laid in your heart or what he has really done. And his intent is to wipe out all that confidence and everything that God put in there, or even the assurance, that rest, that peace that was put in your heart. How does he do that? How does he take away that testimony? How does he make me feel condemned? We just read here that if we don't walk with God, or we are not in his son, we are condemned already. My question to you is, what do you believe? Who's greater? Who is greater? Is it God or is it Satan? We would say it's God, right? But I go back to the struggles I ask. How does your life display who is greater? John 3:36 later on says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him," basically lives in him. So here we see there are those who believe, and then there are those who do not believe. 1st, we just read in 1 John 5:10, he says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not the Son hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or the testimony that God gave his Son." So John addresses that in his first letter, or the first epistle there, whether or not we have eternal life. He makes it very clear. He makes it clear that it's conditional on whether we believe the testimony that God gave through his Son. So the work of Christ, he, Jesus, came to redeem us, and he died to take our place. One more scriptures here. Romans, turn with me to Romans 6. He says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members to servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Very good. "But when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." Hallelujah. That's a picture of redemption. The testimony, apart from the testimony, or recognizing the testimony, we are literally lost. We won't make it. But God, apart from the testimony, we're wicked, we're spiritually dead, and without hope. We basically need an intervention, going to back to what I had mentioned earlier. There was a price that had to be paid for each one of us. Every one of us sitting here are not exempt. There's a price that had to be paid for every one of us. So you cannot be saved and enjoying sin at the same time or willingly sinning, according to Scripture. So can I lose my salvation? Or is it once I'm saved, I'm always saved? Those are very tough questions outside of the Word of God. The Word of God makes it very clear, and we'll look into that. Can I lose my salvation? If you are willingly sinning and enjoying your sin, what God calls the world, according to His Word, you will not spend life with Him eternally. He, Jesus, is the Lord of our salvation. He only can change it. God sent His Son and satisfied His own wrath with Jesus as a sacrifice on the cross. It was our sins that caused or had Jesus make the commitment to bear the agonies of the crucifixion. But in the midst of it all, God, that was love and that was justice to God. There was something that needed to be paid. Now let's go to 1 John 2. And we'll see what he says here. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. All right. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We needed an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Wow. Wow. So normally an advocate argues for your innocence, right? You go to court. There's an advocate there. They argue for your innocence or for your punishment, possibly. It can be the other way around. So there's a propitiation, a claim that has been satisfied. What consequences was meant for me is now taken away. Somebody took the place of that. So in other words, if you up and hit somebody's car this afternoon leaving here, and you cause maybe $1,000 worth of damage, you're responsible to pay for those damages. It was your fault. You committed it. You did. You made a mistake. So you're responsible to pay it. But what if the owner of the other car says, "Don't worry about it. You don't need to pay this." But it's just a little illustration of what. There's no getting out of it unless somebody else releases it. Otherwise, you have to pay it. You're indebted to it. You're responsible for it. And that's what Jesus came for. He came to set us free and pay that debt. But you basically owe that the owner of that car that $1,000 unless he lets you go. So Jesus paid the debt. In our lost state, His wrath was appointed unto us because of our sin. But He propitiated the holy wrath of God against my sin. And He left us go by suffering the full penalty in our place. So have you ever struggled with feeling worthy? Have you ever had a hard time with feeling like you're not worthy of that release? And I think sometimes that's what keeps us from fully accepting that assurance, being settled in that, what God says in His Word. So Jesus doesn't necessarily argue our worthiness or our acceptance as an advocate, but he really is a substitution. He is there to bring us to our Father place. He is there to redeem us. He is there to totally set us free. So we may not be worthy to be forgiven, right? But He is worthy to forgive us because of what He did. I'm not worthy to be forgiven, but He is worthy to forgive us. Appreciated John lifting up Christ and the work that God has done in his life. So really, it doesn't go by feelings this morning. This is nothing emotional. Let's just take the emotions out of it. The feeling will always take you astray. It will never give you the truth. The emotion, the experience, it can be what it is. All of us have different experiences, but we must look at the fact that Jesus came, He died to set us free. He is worthy. He died for us. That's a fact. Fact will never go over feeling unless you allow it to. So how do we know if we're forgiven? 1 John 1:9 says, He is faithful and just to forgive us from what? All unrighteousness. Everything. He is faithful and just. One thing I thought about here is John did not say he's merciful and kind to forgive us. So the basis of God's forgiveness is not mercy, right? It was justice. It had to be paid. It had to be done. It had to be given, or it had to be lived out or ordered in a way that he had set up in the beginning. So his wrath is satisfied. So Jesus suffered the full extent of God's judgment. And all that is left for me is just to accept it. Because it's a fact. It's truth. To embrace it and to believe it. I don't know if you picked that up, or the verses that we read, there was, I don't know how many times it was mentioned, believe, believeth. A continue, ETH after a word means over and over and over and over again. Never end, it's over and over. Believeth. I believe it again. We need him every hour. We believe again tomorrow morning. We believe. We believe. And so the best way I can probably summarize what I've shared up until this point is Jesus in my place. Jesus in my place. Jesus in your place. It happened. And it is there for us to accept it. There is nothing left that is owed. You can go free. I have to think of when we did prison ministry before COVID hit, some of those prisoners were in there with maybe one or maybe two life sentences, possibly more. And you look at them and you're just like, how could I get this guy to be set free? Is that how God looked at us or still looks at us? How can I set this person free? But it's different. It's different in the kingdom of God than in this world as far as prison. He can set you free in a moment. It's believing with all your heart that the truth of God, the word of God is true, and that he can change you. And I don't ask me how he does it. I have no idea how to explain that. It's through his Holy Spirit, just simply believing him, and he does the work through us. God does not hold any of our sin after it's been paid for through the blood of Christ. That just wouldn't be fair. What if you would pay for that car that you damaged? And now you gave $1,000 to whoever you owed it to, And a week later, he'd come back and says, now, your wife owes me $1,000 as well. There's two penalties. So how many times are we at a place where possibly we feel like we've been forgiven by God, right? And then we're okay for a while, but then it comes up again. And if we truly repented for that sin, God has forgiven you. He doesn't pay the penalty twice. It's once and for all. If you lay it before him with an honest heart and say, Lord, here is really who I am. And this is my sinful nature. This is the sin that I've committed. I'm sorry. I ask for your forgiveness. And you repent. And repenting is a 180, not a 360. It's a 180. It's you're heading one way, and you turn, and you head exactly the opposite way in that which you were in. Unless you do, your temptation will take you down a slippery slope where you'll be snared. And I don't know if you know what a snare trap looks like. The Bible talks about a snare, the snare of the enemy. But a snare is basically you're trying to trap this varmint, and it's a cable or a wire with a loop, and it goes through, and it makes a loop, right? And this end is tied to a stake. And when the animal goes through, it catches him, and he pulls it away from the stake, and it begins to press in on his body. The harder he pulls, the harder it presses his body to the point where it can kill him. A snare. See, the wages of sin are death. Sin is a snare unto the soul. So God doesn't expect us to pay two penalties for one sin. As a child of God, when the enemy comes to tempt us, remind him that you've been bought with the blood of Christ. It's all paid. Just remind him. Remind him that you've been bought. I appreciated the worship this morning. A lot of the songs were tied into what I'm sharing. And one of the notes that I wrote down is, you know, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It's a relationship that ultimately saves us. It's us giving ourselves to him. Just a few promises I want to share with you, and I'm not going to make it long this morning. Luke 3:6 says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. We've seen that before. Whosoever, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Isaiah 52:10, the Lord made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Wow. There's a lot of work to be done. I was just a thought that I shared with my wife on the way to church this morning. I said, you know, what if some of you were at the prayer meeting last night? We were praying for possible places in the area here that are involved in human trafficking, and just driving in the parking lots, driving around the buildings that we suspected could possibly be involved. Patrick from Vision Beyond Borders was with us last night. But I just said to my wife this morning, I said, how would you picture yourself, an individual that's being trafficked, and you can see out this window, possibly, and you see the traffic going down 340, and you see people going about their lives, and those people have no idea what you're facing. They have no idea that you're being sold. And maybe I'm a person that never heard the gospel. I have no idea. But I'm looking out this window and saying, if only those people in those cars knew what I'm facing. And when I look at this, it says, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. It's like, Lord, help us. Help us to engage ourselves in this work or whatever he has for us. Psalm 98, 1 and 2. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Hallelujah. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. There is no shame. Neither is there on our hearts. When you are assured in the Lord, there is no shame. There is nothing to be ashamed of. I was thinking about going into repentance and faith, but I think I'll let that for another time. My heart this morning is that Christ would be lifted up as a serpent was lifted up in your lives, not only here this morning, not only for this short time we're together, but that Christ would be lifted up in your life in a very real way. Your decisions, the things that you do, who you are, what you believe, what you struggle with, are you giving it to Christ? Are you mixing it with other things? Again, God's heart is that we set ourselves on the solid rock of Jesus Christ for our salvation, and we get set with our lives. And again, salvation is not based on how we feel. It is a fact in Scripture that once we give our lives to Jesus Christ and we make him Lord, we are saved. But it is believing that. It is walking that out. It is living that. Believing is living. I would have loved to go into that more, but I think we'll keep going here. If what was appointed to us, we could change, how would we change it? Basically, we couldn't change it. We cannot change the condition of our heart. It takes Jesus to do that for us. God doesn't forgive on the basis of what we would do or maybe what we would not do. He won't forgive on that basis. It is when we put our faith in Christ and we accept the work that he has done. And so basically it comes down to Jesus plus nothing equals assurance. I've seen that sign already. Jesus plus nothing equals assurance. It's not our works. It's not our last name. It's not our first name. It's not what we own. It's not what we do. It's not currently what we're involved in. All the good things, it has nothing to do with that. We've seen that earlier. The deeds in 1 John 3, the deeds that come out of our lives are because of what Christ has already done within. It is because of the pleasure that is in us to serve Christ. I technically would not choose to preach. But like John said, we have a voice. We have something to say because of what Christ did. If it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't have a voice. But because of what he has done, he's given us a voice, and we willingly do it. So Jesus in our place has paid that. So the confidence that we are saved, the assurance, the peace with God, 1 John 5:13. I want to bring that verse out yet in closing here. He says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He says, you can know that you have eternal life. And that's the anchor. That's the anchor that will carry us through. That is the anchor that will hold us in storms. That salvation plan, when we believe on the Son of God, we give ourselves to that, and we believe it, we live it, it becomes a part, a very thread of our life, of everything that we do and say. It's not mixed with anything. Only then can we have peace and assurance with God. And that's when I started to realize that the confidence was missing in my life at one point. But then a brother came up to me and he said, start sharing your testimony. Start sharing about what God did. I did, and I felt it become real in my life. There was a connection with heaven when I started testifying of what God did. I could have done like, we'll just let someone else do that. They have a better story. No. You're special in God's eyes. You're precious. He made you for a purpose. He didn't just put you out there and just to let you go. But he made you for a purpose for the times that we live in. Every one of us has a special calling on our lives. We just need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. God will show us. He'll lead the way. Trust me, he will lead you. He says he will. His word says he will lead you. He will guide you if you give yourself to him. Oh, the depth of salvation. Hallelujah. He said, these things have I written unto you, that if you believe on the Son of God, you're going to be saved. You can know. If it becomes real in your life, you're going to be saved. I'm not sure how to wrap this up. My heart this morning is, if you've been struggling, things that keep you away from the Lord, that you'd find yourself at a place this morning that you can repent. Or maybe you just want to come to God and give yourself to him in a greater way. Maybe your faith, your salvation isn't set deep enough. And you aren't quite sure. I'm going to just open up the altar if anyone has a desire to come. And I don't want to make it long, but the burden this morning is that your faith would be in Jesus Christ. And another one that is that you would understand and give yourself to him in a greater way. Maybe you've never asked God for forgiveness of your sin. Perhaps you've never been saved. Or maybe you've been saved and just want to be assured. You don't have that peace. You want rest in Christ. Let's stand to our feet. We're just going to open the altar. would just take some time here, just pray. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to get set this morning. Help us, God, to get set in a greater way. Lord, you see the urgency of the hour. You see the urgency of the time. You see the urgency of our children getting grounded. Oh, my God, may the depth of salvation reach into our hearts. Maybe you've backslidden and failed. Maybe you're harboring bitterness or unforgiveness, and you need Christ to forgive you. Let's just lay the condition of our hearts before the Lord in a raw way. This is who I am, Lord Jesus. Outside of your help, I won't be able to overcome. Oh, Jesus, impart your burden. Maybe you're trying to mix with the world. You've been deceived. Thank you, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning. Dig deep into our lives. Let your voice be heard. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sin. Thank you that we can be redeemed. Thank you that we can lay our lives before you and trust you to change them.